So, work from home time tips. Welcome, everybody. I'm Garland Coulson, Captain Time. And today we're going to talk about how do you actually work from home? So some of you are new to this because with COVID, you've had to suddenly work from home and you haven't before. Some of you have done this for a long time. I've been doing this for over 15 years that I've worked from home. So let's go through some of these ideas here. So working from home sounds so amazing. You know, you can commute by your coffee machine in the morning, no drive to work and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes the reality is not quite as pretty. When you actually try to work from home, sometimes there's additional distractions. Sometimes you can't seem to gain the same level of focus. So we're going to go through some ideas here for you on how to be very productive when you work from home. And this is especially good for those of you who are new to working from home, or those of you who just can't seem to get everything done when you're working from home. So I want you to kind of rethink your productivity. Think of your home as a very serious place to work, because usually when we get home, we relax, we immediately let down, we want to do Netflix and chill. We don't want to be thinking about being productive and these kinds of things. And so it's very hard sometimes to start working from home and suddenly get out of that mindset, out of that relaxing mindset, and get back into thinking about productivity. So the first thing is, if you are working from a large company, you're working for somebody else, you want to make sure that you get all the support that you can from that work environment. So if there's tools you need access to, a second telephone so that you can answer your phone at home, remote access to the computers, remote access to the software, print, you might need a printer at home. So start to think about everything you need to be effective from home. You don't want to be going back and forth to the office just to print off something or just to get access to some of the files. You want to make sure you can access all of that from home. And you want to invest in quality equipment and tools. So don't cheap out. And I know in some cases, you're having to spend this money for yourself. If you're self-employed like me, then you're spending money on your own equipment. But if you're working for somebody else, you may be able to get them to pony up for buying you a little better laptop or buying you better communications equipment and things like that. But you want to invest in quality equipment and tools that's really going to work for you. One example is I just bought a Jabra 510 speaker phone, and it's made making phone calls so much easier. It connects through Bluetooth to my smartphone. It's crystal clear when I'm talking to people, and it gives me both hands free to be able to type. And there's many times, for some reason, when we're at home, we tend to cheap it out. Like, my back used to get sore sitting in my chair. And at one time I realized my chair was 5 or 6 years old, and it had been like probably a $60 office chair, 5 or 6 years ago. And I thought, well, why don't, I'm willing to spend all this money on a computer. I usually buy a fairly decent high-end computer. Why am I not willing to spend that same money on a more comfortable chair? So I've got a very comfortable chair. I've got ergonomic mouse. I use a trackball mouse because I was getting some twinges in my arm. So I bought a wrist brace, and I bought a trackball mouse instead of the standard mouse. And that has helped. My twinges have gone away. So it's worked really well for that. So, look for ergonomic keyboards. And also, I purchased a large screen monitor, and then I purchased a arm on it that lets me position it wherever I want. So instead of it just sitting in front of me and me having to move it back and forth, I can change the height. I can move it back and it doesn't vibrate as much. Similarly, I've got a high quality microphone because I do a lot of training, teaching, a lot of Zoom calls with people. So I got myself a high quality microphone. I bought a nice pair of speakers because I like to listen to music while I do that. So anything you need, like, look at buying above the consumer quality. You don't want to buy just the home quality. You want to be a level above. You don't have to be the top level. Highest level of computers, the most expensive computers, are usually meant for gaming. So if you're not gaming, you don't need that really high-end stuff. But if you're doing things like video production, you might find you need a computer with a little more oomph. And comfortable office furniture. And this is a prime example of where I had made a mistake by keeping an old chair just because I was being cheap. Also, I've set my desk. My desk height can be changed, so I'm able to set it at the right ergonomic level for me. Remember, a lot of laptops that are sitting up on tables are often not the right height. You used to use keyboard trays years ago, and of course, laptops don't fit in keyboard trays, so people just started to throw them on top of the desk. So in many cases, your laptop is not at the right ergonomic height for you to type. And to be comfortable. So you want to make sure that you're going to, you know, be able to type for longer hours without getting sore. And so make sure you've got furniture that can change heights. So the first step is to plan your work first. So instead of diving in and just starting to work, you want to give some thought to planning. What is the work I need to accomplish this week? What are my goals for this week? What are the deadlines that are coming up? What projects are happening? Often we end up suddenly realizing that a project is due tomorrow or even today, and we've got it. We throw tons of hours into it last minute and we submit it, but usually it's not our best work because we haven't had time to work on it over time. We haven't had time to think about the project and we're just rushing to beat a deadline. So by making sure that we've planned our work first, we're making sure that we don't have those deadlines that are going to mess up. And I think it was Douglas Adams said, I love deadlines. I love the sound of them as they whoosh by. So you don't want these deadlines whooshing by from you. Instead, you want to take control. And, Michael Altschuler says that, the bad news is time flies. The good news is you're the pilot. So being the pilot is what you want to do here by planning the work first instead of just diving in and instead of just working. And do feel free to ask questions throughout if you've got questions about anything we talked about so far or something you're struggling with, a problem that happens, a distraction that happens, a challenge you're facing with working from home. The next key thing is to have a good task management system. So a task management system, think about like a bucket to hold things. If you're going to organize a bunch of pens on your desk, having a pen holder for each type of pen just makes it easy to have them spot to put instead of scattering the pens all over your desk. Similarly, you need a place to hold your tasks. Where do I keep my tasks? And keeping them in your head doesn't work because you'll eventually slip and miss something. Something will fall through the cracks. Something won't get done in time. And a good task management system just makes sure that you're never missing any of these things. The other great thing is you can sort those tasks by project. So when it's time to work on a certain project, you can call up all the tasks just for that project and work on it. And this works for business or for home. I mean, for example, if you've got home renovation projects you want to work on, you can sort those tasks as well. If you've got, you're doing a new marketing campaign and you want to do a product launch page for it, you can have those tasks all sorted by project. Can also sort tasks by priority. So what's your highest priority task today? So I like to view my task list and say, what are my due dates, items that are due today? What are my highest priority items? Highest priority also saves you if you're going to be going on vacation soon, or you can only work for a couple of hours, or you're not feeling well. Calling up your highest priority tasks for that day, make sure you get those done first. So there's a ton of useful, great task management systems out there. I'm not going to sell you one because there's lots of great ones out there, many great free ones. Some of the ones I often recommend to clients are Zenkit To Do, which is the one I use personally right now. And it's a very minimalist task management system. There's Trello, which is great for people who are very visual, works with a card system. Then there's Notion, which is kind of like the love child of Wiki and database. So there's lots of them out there. There's just a screenshot of what Zenkit To Do looks like. As you can see, very simple, but it does let me do due dates, reminders, even lets me set repeat dates. Like if I have to pay a bill once a month, I've got it set up to come automatically. Let you do notes and attachments and comments. And on the left-hand side, you can see I've sorted it by my different projects. So very easy to find everything. This is an example of Trello. Trello works in a card system. You can create lists across the screen. So that's the columns across the screen. You can drag cards from one list to the other. You can color code them, attach pictures and files, add deeper information, add hyperlinks, and create checklists. And both of these will let you assign to people. So there's just tons of them out there. So yeah, find one that works for you, stick with it for a few months, and then make a list of what doesn't work in that if you need to look for another task management system. So how do you create focus at home? I know some people who are have amazing focus at work and they can work really hard, and they get home and they can't seem to gain that same level of focus. So one thing you can do is to create a dedicated workspace. So have a space where you only work on your work, your work that you have to do to be productive. So don't use that space also for gaming or for watching TV or your hobby projects or anything like that. Instead, make sure it's just a dedicated workspace. Then you want to make sure you maintain regular hours, and we'll talk about other ways this is important. But by having regular hours of work, your clients know when they can reach you. Then they're able to, you know, able to find you during those times. They know they can expect to hear back from you, etc. And don't do any laundry, house cleaning, or TV watching during work hours. My first business I tried to run from home failed because I used to, you know, oh, it's 2 o'clock, you know, maybe my Star Trek show's on, maybe I'll just watch that. And I can always do a bit of work later. And somehow you never get back to work later. So you want to make sure that you've, during those peak hours, your peak focus hours, that you're working and not doing the, not distracted by all the housework and all the other things you could be doing. So. You also want to work with your peak energy levels. For me, this is first thing in the morning. So I find that when I wake up in the morning, my brain power is at its maximum, my energy is at its maximum. So I work on my hardest, most difficult project first thing in the morning. I spend my first 1 or 2 hours on the nasty, horrible tasks and projects I really don't want to do. Brian Tracy calls this eat the frog first, which means if you do your worst task first, everything else seems really easy afterwards. And it's really true. Then you can reward yourself with tasks that are easy, tasks you enjoy doing later in the afternoon. So I really enjoy coaching. So I really love it when my clients do coaching calls in the afternoon, because I love doing, that's my favorite time to do coaching calls. I like creating new workshop outlines, or creating new articles, new videos, that kind of work I do in the afternoon. Things like budgets and accounting and difficult processes I have to put together for clients, I do those first thing in the morning to make sure that my clients get the brightest of the energy that I have and the brightest of my brain power. If you're having difficulty focusing, consider setting a focus timer. This is a countdown timer. Usually I suggest about 30 minutes or so. And say, I'm going to work 30 minutes on this really horrible project. And then you just set the timer and push it. You can use a kitchen timer for this. As a matter of fact, it's often called the Pomodoro technique, after a fellow who wrote a book. And he was talking about a Pomodoro, which is, I believe, Italian for tomato. So he had a kitchen timer that was looking like a tomato that you would twist to do this. Or you can use a timer on your smartphone or a web-based one from the internet. So I often use the ones on my phone, set a 30-minute timer, work on a project for 30 minutes, get up and stretch after that, and then I set it for another 30 minutes and work again. Having a focus timer reminds you what you're supposed to be working on. When you see on your phone that, oh, if there's a timer running, it reminds you that you're not supposed to be watching funny cat videos right now. Instead, you're supposed to be actually working on that. I also find it's a relief when there's a nasty task I don't want to do, but I say I'm going to work 30 minutes on it. Then I just do 30 minutes on it. And it's amazing that it just helps me blow through it, even though I really didn't want to do it. But just setting that timer has a big impact. So how to reduce distractions while working from home. So this is the other problem. So first off, if you're all alone at home, it's not so bad because the only one distracting you is you. So if you go do funny cat videos or other things, well, that's on you because you decide to do those things. But you have to work around other people. So this makes it tough because there's other people in your household. Try closing your door if it's possible during peak focus times or during phone calls you have to make. Use a headset if necessary so you don't hear the outside sounds around you. Try to have rules around interruptions. So my wife and I both work from home, but we don't go in and knock on each other's door, or we don't interrupt each other while we're working. Instead, if I want to talk to her, I'll wait till lunch, or I'll wait until she gets out to grab a cup of tea or something. She waits till I grab a cup of coffee or something. So we're not being interrupted multiple times a day by each other. Instead, we save those for the times when we go out and eat lunch and talk together and just make a note of what we want to talk about during that time. No social media during your work time. The only exception to this is if you're running a social media campaign, then while you're working on the campaign, you can have just that social media open for that campaign. But when you're done, turn it off. No personal phone calls or texts during work time. So, you know, to turn your texts off, turn your personal phone off during your work time so you're not being interrupted. Kids are tough because kids need attention and they're continually coming in. Consider rewarding them if they allow you. Say, okay, if you let, you know, dad work or mom work for 30 minutes, at the end of that, you get a treat, or at the end of that, we'll do something for an hour or something like that. So do that kind of reward if they're old enough to understand it. They may not be otherwise. See if you can trade off with your partner and say, okay, well, you're on shift this morning, and then I'll take the shift the afternoon. So that way each of you gets 3 hours of, say, uninterrupted time. And consider you may just have to use a daycare in some cases if you really need to get the client work done in order to be able to focus. Take regular breaks too. It's very important. I mentioned I set a 30-minute timer, then take a short, maybe 5-10-minute break. I love going for a walk at lunch or a walk in the evening. I find taking a regular walk at lunch allows me to do more work in the afternoon. If I don't take my walk at lunch, about 2 o'clock, 2:30, I'm just kind of dragging and don't really feel like working. I'm so tired. But by taking that break, I find I can work an hour or two later than I would otherwise. So it really helps to get outside, take that break. And get outside for a walk if you can. I know some of you may be in climates that are tough. I'm in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. So sometimes in the winter, it's a little cold. But other than the worst blizzards, I walk probably about 98% of the days of the year. I'm out for a walk every day. I just dress warmly for it. So you can do that. And I find being outside in the cold is quite refreshing. So you might be working with a team. If you're self-employed, it might be a team of freelancers who work with you, virtual assistants, suppliers. If you work for somebody else, it could be the rest of your team from your office. So one of the best ways to communicate is to use a task management system. So again, you can use the comment area of your task management system to update everybody on what's going on with the tasks. Task management systems are much better for updating than email because emails are scattered over weeks, like relating to a task, relating to a project, and it's very hard to find them all and see what was said. When you're just putting all the notes and file attachments and comments in a task management system, then it's all in one spot. It's all with that one task. You don't have to go looking for anything. Meeting tools like Zoom are also a great way to meet. Be careful you don't abuse this. I had one company I was training that was having 6 meetings a day, which is to me almost abusive. So that's far too many meetings to have. So you want to make sure that you're only hosting meetings that are really needed. Don't host meetings just to update people. You can update people easily by email or just by regular, many other methods. Instead, use your meeting times to gain consensus, to create action plans, to brainstorm issues, to troubleshoot problems. Make sure that you come out of a meeting much stronger than when you went in, with a much stronger action plan, rather than people just feeling, well, there's an hour of my life I'm never going to get back. Could also use other apps like Google Duo, very similar to Zoom, with being able to communicate with other people one-on-one, or WhatsApp or things like that. Communicate via reports. So management might lose touch with what you're doing. So you want to make sure that you're regularly keeping them appraised of what you're doing. So a great way to do that is to make sure your task management system, make sure you're updating all your tasks so your management can see at a glance. So if your manager says, well, what's happening with X task? You can say, I've added to the comments there. It's here's the status of it. Make sure you're updating the status. And many task management systems let you change the status, like from started, or you could say 50% complete or 75% complete, or it could say something like blocked, waiting for the quote from the supplier. Other than that, you can also create reports. So you can look and see if your task management system has reports and learn to automate reports. Reports are great things to automate if at all possible, because you don't want to be writing a report. If it takes you longer to write a report than it did you to do a task, you're doing something wrong, because you don't want to be writing about the task longer than it took to actually do the task. And I highly recommend you use a virtual assistant to get some of your work done. Now, some of you may not be able to do this in cases where you're working for other people, but certainly anybody who's an entrepreneur could use a virtual assistant. You might want to use a virtual assistant to take some of the load off, even if you are working for other people. A virtual assistant can do research, they can do basic writing. Some of them can even do simple support ticket replies in your email. They can create polls, information, communicate with your clients, run email campaigns, run marketing campaigns. There's just a ton of things. I have at least 3 or 4 virtual assistants currently working for me, and I could not get done everything that I get done without having virtual assistants. And if you're looking for a virtual assistant, we have several at Bizmentum. So you can come visit us at bizmentum.com, and we'll have the link in the area below and at the end of the video, so that you can find Bizmentum. But you can come over and find our virtual assistants that we have at Bizmentum and reach out and see if they're the right fit for you. Some other useful tools for working from home, ways to share files. This might be Google Docs or Dropbox. I use Google Docs a lot for this. I find it works really well to just be able to have spreadsheets and pictures and other files already set up to be able to just be shared with other people that way. We also use a lot of databases. I sometimes use Airtable as a database to share things as well. So. Now, how do you keep work from taking over your personal life? You've probably heard entrepreneurs saying, I work 18 hours a day, or, it seems to be, everybody seems to claim they're working all these insane hours. And you really don't want to do that. When you're working those kind of insane hours, you're not working to your full capacity. What happens is you burn yourself out. Things are not going to be working that well. So instead, maintain regular hours. So when you're done, flip the mental work switch off and say, I'm done, don't work later hours, okay? Try to have a workspace separate from your relaxing space, so that when you're sitting watching TV, you're not also sitting in the same place where you worked all day. Keep your home number private. You don't want your boss calling you late at night. And if they are, that's a human resources issue. So read up on the policies and procedures that your human resources department has to make sure that, that shouldn't be appropriate. I mean, your boss shouldn't be calling you 9 at night about things, because, your home time is your own time. Keep a separate work phone in many cases might help you, because then you can just turn it off and let it go to voicemail after hours as well. So that brings us to the end of it. A little bit about me. I'm a speaker on time management, entrepreneurship, digital marketing. I'm known as Captain Time. I'm an author of the Amazon bestseller, Stop Wasting Time and Procrastination in 5 Weeks. I'm a time and productivity coach. I do one-on-one coaching. And I do time management skills training for companies who want to train their employees. I've been featured in the Washington Post as a productivity expert. And I do mind mapping. I've been certified by MindMeister and BiggerPlate. And I'm the founder of Bizmentum, which is an online business networking organization with people who are committed to doing business together, committed to helping each other. And now I'd like to open it up for questions, if you have questions, concerns, challenges about working from home.
I do. First of all, I say I love to do laundry working from home, because all I have to do is put it in and then wait, take it out later.
Now laundry is an interesting one, because laundry is a good form of multitasking, because you can put it in and then the machine's doing the work and then you take it out later. I think what I'm getting at is, if people have a lot of laundry to fold, you don't want to be doing that during your work time. So that's the key thing. Okay. Folding the laundry needs to come after your day's done.
Yes, I see what you mean there. So I want to thank you for our last strategy session when we were when you were consulting, because it was very, very helpful to me. I mean, we got so much done, and it was really good. So I wanted to let you know that. And then I have a question about Trello. Is that a task? I use it for one thing within this, but is that a task management system, like something that you think could feasibly be used when you're communicating with an overseas virtual assistant?
Yes. So Trello does allow you to assign tasks to other people. So this means you bring them into your Trello and they become, you know, and they become a member. They can see the Trello board. And so they are able to, let's just go up to Trello here. They're able to see their tasks and they can see the tasks that are assigned to them. And then when they put comments on it, then you can see on the comments and the updates what's going on. So I love working with task management systems this way. Zenkit To-Do will also do this. So that was the previous one I mentioned. I have virtual assistants scattered around the world who are all accessing Zenkit To-Do with me. So Zenkit To-Do or Trello would both work.
If I were to use Trello, would I just have, like, you know, one column for that person? Or how would you functionally, how would you use it?
Yeah, it's in the assignment part. So I'm just going to come out of the come out of here for a moment, and I'm just going to call up. I haven't been in Trello in a while, so let's see if they let me in. When you haven't signed in a while, sometimes they make you jump through hoops. Oops. Okay.
Uh-oh, that sound. Well, they let me in. And I don't use it a whole lot. I just have one project that I use it for. Or one aspect of my business, I should say.
No, I think it's not going to let me in right now. Let's see.
Okay.
I'll just go in with a new one with Google. I'll go away. It'll probably create a new account. So okay, log me in. Yeah, I haven't been in a while. So I think they canceled my account. So I don't use it.
Don't worry about it. I'll figure it out, or I'll get a hold of you and have a consultation session if I decide that's what I want to use.
Yeah. So what happens is over here on the when you click on any of these cards, what happens is a little menu opens up in the right hand side, and that allows you to assign it to whoever you want. So people can just, you can just see the assignments there. So you could put them in their own list if you wanted, like you could have a list here that said Bob and Susie and stuff like that, but you don't need to because you can assign it within the actual card.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be really helpful.
Yeah. So usually, so people get confused with Trello because they don't know what to use the list for, right? So here they're using it kind of for topics, like people and organizing, help templates, that kind of thing. But you could use it for, let's say, if you had a process for creating, I know you do audio voiceovers. So you could have a process here for a voiceover project, right? So the first one might be it could be something like, to discuss the project. Another one could be quotes sent. Another one could be contracts signed. So you could actually have almost a sales pipeline here of where all your projects are going, right?
That's what I use it for when I produce people's voiceover demos. Demo ordered, demo paid, script written, recorded, sent to editing, approved, and all that, where it just goes right down the line and I can see, because sometimes I'll have several going at once, and that way I can see at a glance where each of the demos is and who I need to follow up with. But I'm really now looking into getting a virtual assistant from overseas. And
right.
So I want to make sure, I just want to try to see what would be the best way to communicate with that person.
I would strongly recommend you communicate primarily through the task management system, and email is only a backup, okay? Because and you'll have to send them an email invite, of course, to get into Trello or Zenkit to do or whatever you use. But it really makes a difference. Like, I'm working with 4 virtual assistants right now, and I love the fact that all the comments and everything they have are right on every task. Like, I don't have to go looking for it. And back when I used to try doing this through email, and people are really bad with email subject lines. Like, you know, they might be writing to you about, say, where they were doing a computer shopping for you. And then they might at the very bottom of that say, oh, and I also finished that other task for you of creating the database. Well, if you go looking for the database status, it's not there because the subject line is the computer pricing. You know, so yeah, it gets really bad with that. So it really makes a difference to teach. And you have to teach them that they work in comments, not email. So you have to say, yeah, instead of writing that in email, could you please add it as a comment to the task?
And what do you do for time tracking?
Time what? Time blocking?
Time tracking.
Time tracking.
No,
okay.
Time tracking.
Yeah.
For their accountability.
Yeah, you could look for a task management system that includes it, or you could use something like Clockify is a good free one that I like.
And what does that do?
So with Clockify, what happens is you can, let's see if I get into Clockify at least. So Clockify is,
you know,
a
time tracking. Where they log in. Because I don't know if I want them to have to log in and out, but, you know, I do think accountability is important.
Well, yes, accountability is important. So this is Clockify. So if I just wanted to say, if I was working on webinar production right now, when I click start, it starts to track the time. And I can also then here choose what project do I want this to go to? Is it admin, coaching, content development, workshops? I go workshops. So this will track how much time is spent on each task. And then I can look at the reports later on, and I can get a detailed report of how much time was spent on each. So the uses for this, first off, it's a great way to, like if you were to say, Garland, I'm going to spend 25% of my week on marketing. This would tell you at the end of the week if you'd really done that or if you only got 10%. So this is kind of like a diagnostic tool to see where you're really spending your time. But you can have your team use this so you can see how long they're taking on each task. So if you find one of your team members is spending 4 times as long to create like a blog post than the other ones, then you know that that's the person that you should stop using.
Okay. And do they all have different accounts or are they all logging into a central location?
Well, I would suggest if you're using it to track their time so you can see what they've spent their time on, you would want to have them, they would get an account, they would be a team member. So you see here, you can like manage a team here, right?
I see.
So you can add new member and then it will send them an email invite. So
that sounds great.
Yeah, and it's a lovely free program. It really is. So it's a great one. So,
well, that makes it even better. The fact that it's free.
Yes, gotta love the fact that they're free. Yeah, it works out really well. So,
well, that's cool. I want to thank you for doing this today.
Oh, great! I'm glad you're finding it useful. So, any other work from home questions or organizing questions with all this?
I'm just making a note here, looking through. No, I think you've answered all my questions. Yeah, no, you've pretty much answered everything I have.
Awesome.
So I appreciate that. I've been working at home for a long time, but yeah. You know, but what I haven't done, and I appreciate your helping me with that, is that I haven't had distant virtual assistants. So,
yes.
You know, that's something I've contacted people, but I've never tracked anything. And with this situation that I'm looking at, I would really need to. So thank
you.
Yeah.
So here's an example using my Zenkit to do, which is a different one, of course. But here's an example of where if I click on this particular person's tag, I can see all of the things that I've assigned to this person. And so here's a task I've assigned to this person. And over here were all the steps for the task. And you can do this in Trello, by the way. I'm just showing this because I couldn't get into my Trello. All the tasks there. And then down here, all her questions. Okay, so she was asking, oh, well, would we need to create a separate area for narration or whatever? Because somebody was a narrator. And I said, no, narration would fall under voiceover. So this is, you know, you can see all the back and forth we've gone here. And it's all in one spot, including I sent her a little training video, an updated video on how to do something. So it's all right here, all to this task. And then you can see that it's, you know, as she ticks off each one as it's done. So,
well, how common is it that you would have to give them all the steps? Or how common is it that they might, you give them the job and they know what steps to take?
Well, it depends on what you're asking someone to do, right? So usually there's steps for something you'd like someone to do, even if, and the steps can be simple. Like, for example, I've asked Ghislaine to write 10 sample social messages for people to promote BizMantum. Okay. So I just gave her only two steps: do research on how to write good messages, then prepare 10 sample social messages and send to Garland for approval. And I just wrote in here what I'm looking for. You know, so by being really clear on the outcome you want, you're going to get better results instead of just saying, go set up a social media campaign for me. Okay. Instead, you would want to say, okay, I want a social media campaign on Instagram. I want it to reach these people. You know, you need to be more specific in what you're doing. The reason why I was very specific here is because they're working within my BizMantum system, which is not something anybody else is going to know how to do, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, and I wanted them to work with a text expander. So I wanted to have them watch my text expander video. Okay. So they know what they are, then install that so that they can do it much faster. So yes, it's a lot of steps, it looks like, but now that they've done this, I wouldn't have to say, well, you know, watch the text expander video, install Phrase Express, because I know she's already done it next time.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
But now it next just time seems like approach all these people and do this.
I've worked with people, contractors here in the US who you're paying pretty well and they need you to tell you step by step what to do. I don't want to do that. I want them to figure it out. I mean, I know there are certain things I need to do, but I would kind of like the skills where I don't have to hold their hand or why am I hiring them in the first place?
Well, okay, there's a couple of issues around this. So first off, if you're hiring people overseas, English is their second language. And I mean, it's wonderful if they speak multiple languages. I don't. So already I'm impressed with them because they speak multiple languages. But because English is their second language, sometimes it can be hard for them to understand what you're asking. So that's one drawback with hiring someone from overseas is they may not understand. So giving them very clear step-by-step instructions is a way of accommodating for that, a way of having them understand. Otherwise, you end up with they've put 10, 20 hours into a project and you find out they're way off base. They misunderstood entirely. They're giving you back something you didn't ask for. And that's the other key too, is I test people right away. Like, so if I hire a virtual assistant, I have them right away. I work 1 or 2 hours, then I test them to see how it's going. And then I check their output. And if they're off track, I say, no, you're off track. You need to shift to do it this way. You can get, and also it's too how much you're willing to pay people. Starting out, virtual assistants tend to need more instructions. Executive level virtual assistants cost a lot more, but they tend to know how to do it. So you'll want to check the experience of someone. And virtual assistant is far too general of a term because it's like any kind of office work. So there's some who specialize in social media, there's some who specialize in writing, some who specialize in content creation. So you really need to look at the tasks you're giving them. And if you're giving them tasks outside of the area that where they profess to be an expert, then you're probably going to have to give them more instructions. They can probably do it, but there. Also too, you can't expect a virtual assistant to be an expert in every different tool you're using. For example, if you're using MailerLite and they've only used MailChimp in the past, there might be a bit of learning around having to, you know, use MailerLite instead of MailChimp for an email list management program. But you can also specify okay. that when you're looking for people. Say, I want someone who knows how to work in Google Docs. I know someone who knows how to work in Nimble. You know, you can specify that. But I find that, for example, I had one virtual assistant at that level, but she was charging $35 an hour. But she was executive level, meaning I could basically throw her a task and she would just bowl through and do it. And it shocked me the first time she did it, because I'm used to helping people and giving them really detailed instructions. And so I was waiting to kind of hear back from her when she would get stuck on something so I could provide more guidance, and she just finished the project.
Wow.
And it wasn't done exactly the way I would have done it, or the way I would have asked somebody to do it. But I looked at the output and I said, well, was the output good? And the output was good, like, meaning it was kind of like 90% of what I was looking for. So I thought, well, that just saved me all that time. Just, you know, treat it as done. And I went on. So yeah, so when you find those kind of people, they're good. So make sure you pay them more and make sure you keep them. And you want to give them the highest priority, the most difficult tasks, because having someone, say, build you a database of people in X field, like let's say event management, that's a pretty simple task that can be done by an overseas virtual assistant. But if you want someone actually calling large event planning organizations in North America, you'd probably want a North American virtual assistant where English is their first language.
Right. Okay. Well, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Bizmentum, online business networking.